Whenever I left school in 1994, I went to the Technical College in Lisburn. It's long gone. The part that I went to has been flattened a good number of years ago. But one of the parts that I enjoyed the most in that engineering course was going down to the workshop and working in some of the lathes and milling machines down there in the workshop. And then whenever I left that course, got my first job, I spent a lot of time behind the lathe in a big engineering company in Lisburn, which is long since gone. But I'm in a friend's workshop here, and behind me there's a couple of lathes, very, very well kept. The man that owns them is a great motorcycle enthusiast, and he's got great hands, and he often uses these lathes to turn up parts for his motorcycles, maybe bushings or shafts, or to skim the crankshaft or whatever it might be. And these lathes behind me are very, very well kept, but they're of quite an age. This one here, the Myford Super 7, is probably from the mid-1950s, and the slightly smaller one in the background here is from the 1940s. And these lathes are great pieces of machinery, extremely well made, high quality, made in Yorkshire in the Myford factory all of those years ago, and still very well kept and working very well today. So anybody that likes a bit of engineering or is involved maybe in restoring engines or anything like that will be well aware of what a lathe is. Just behind this red guard here, there's a small chuck, and the metal goes inside the chuck, the cylinder metal. It spins around at high speeds, and then you've got your tool post here, and the tool goes in and shaves off that cylinder until you get maybe a shaft or a piston head or a ring or a collar or a bushing, whatever it is you want to make. The metal spins around, and then the tool shaves off the metal as it spins around. If you're not familiar with how a lathe works, to put it very simply, it's a little bit like the same principle of clay being put on a potter's wheel. It's not that the tool spins around, it's that the material spins around, and then the tool, or in the potter's wheel, the hands or the knife perhaps, are used to craft the particular vessel that's being made. And so a lathe works on almost the same principle as the potter's wheel. And in the Bible, in the Word of God, in the book of Jeremiah, we have reference to the potter's house or the potter's wheel. The potter was like an Old Testament engineer almost, and would have been employed to make pots and cups and saucers and plates and all sorts of different things. And whatever size of vessel somebody required, the potter could have turned them up that particular vessel. And in Jeremiah chapter 18, we have these words. I'm going to read them to you. Jeremiah 18, verse number 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." And those words are words of great comfort. The Bible speaks about these bodies of ours being likened unto earthen vessels, jars of clay. And it tells us here that as the clay is in the hand of the potter, so we, and especially here the nation of Israel, is in the hand of Almighty God. And as Jeremiah watches this potter working on the vessel becomes marred in the potter's hand. Maybe there's resistance, maybe there's an impurity in the clay, and as the clay is spinning around in the potter's wheel, just as the metal spins around in the chuck of the lathe, the clay becomes marred in the potter's hand. Maybe it buckles out of shape and gets distorted. And yet rather than throwing the clay away and destroying it or getting rid of it or throwing it in the rubbish dump, he makes it again. He makes again the marred vessel. Maybe removes that impurity or that stone of offence or that grit, whatever it is. Maybe puts a little bit more water and moisture in and puts the clay back in the wheel again and makes it another vessel. And so he does not throw the clay away. And I, for one, am very thankful for that story and for that principle. because we are all subject to sin and temptation and making mistakes. And the Lord keeps us in the hollow of his hand. He does not throw the clay away. Even whenever we fail, even whenever we make terrible mistakes, even whenever perhaps we hurt the hands of the potter, he is still so merciful and so gracious. And maybe today you're a believer and you've made a whole mess of your testimony. Maybe you're not a Christian yet and you've made a mess of your life. Maybe you just don't know the Lord and we're marred, we're tainted by self and by sin. But praise God, the Lord is merciful. He doesn't throw the clay away. He's the God of the second chance, the God of the new beginning. May God bless you today and may you come to realize his love, his sustaining grace. And may you find yourself in the centre of that wheel, in the centre of God's will for your life. May God encourage you today, and any old engineers here, we trust that God will encourage you too, and you can share this with some of your old buddies that maybe are involved in an engineering background. But thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next time. Bye-bye.